the genomic revolution to yield much are not, should not be taken as a good statement, just as a factual statement that so far things have underperformed. But Jim, I think what you're getting at is that we're not thinking about the health system holistically in terms of both either the patient or the economy. I'm sorry, we're not thinking about the health system holistically in terms of either the patient or the economy, and that's exactly right. And to me, the key emphasis, and I think it came up a little bit in Joe's comments, and certainly coming up in the general discussion, is the right way to focus a healthcare system is around what do people need to live the most fulfilling lives they can, and provide it to them efficiently. And that's really the secret behind doing what's right all the time and not doing what you don't need. The best guess of economists is that that will save us a lot of money. Not that we're going to drive it down to zero, because we're always going to be treating people and there are going to be expensive ways of doing it and so on, but that what we're doing now is so off that course that the amount to be saved is enormous. I mean, the rough consensus estimate is that about a third of spending is not associated with improved outcomes. So there's a lot of genomic advance you can fit in and eliminate a third and still save yourself a lot of money over time. And so that kind of patient-centered approach, yes, it's going to spend money, but it's going to be much cheaper.
So two related comments. I have to testify tomorrow for the Subcommittee on Social Security of Ways and Means. And you might say, well, that's not a related topic, but I think your question does make it related. And two of the comments that I will make is, one, is this extraordinary growth in the amount of money going basically to the older of you in the room, but actually the younger of you when you retire, basically for healthcare and retirement, is absorbing all the growth in the economy. So, you know, like the Obama budget is projected to spend $1 trillion more in another 10 years in aggregate. All of it, outside of interest on the debt, goes for basically Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. All of it. And everything else, spending on children, everything else goes into a tailspin. And so that has some implication. The second comment, which is not unrelated, which were directly related to your improvements in health, those improvements in health, generally speaking, have made us more capable. We live longer. For the most part, they allow us, even if we have certain ailments, to be more capable of doing things. But if you don't adjust upward, say, the retirement age, so we have this potential to do more, but if we don't translate that potential to more output, then all these numbers, say, healthcare as a percent of GDP, don't go down. In fact, they probably go up. But let's take the extreme case. We make everybody live longer past 65, but they still all retire at 65. We've delayed some health costs. We've added to the number of years of health costs. We've probably added to health costs, and we haven't added it all to GDP. So we have to think about how this healthcare sector, now that it's such a large segment of the economy and it's absorbing so much of growth, how it interacts with these other sectors. And I think one of them is adjustments outside of healthcare, like, well, if we're going to live longer and be more productive, then darn it, we got to produce more to pay for some of it. And as I say, B, we got to figure out the extent. A lot of the gains from controlling health costs are not an internal to healthcare system. So like I argued, when you look back at the debate between Obama and Governor Romney, they're both fighting each other for the fact that they're going to save money in Medicare. Well, in point of fact, if you do spend less money in Medicare, you probably at some point are going to get less health services. The gains, for the most part, are outside of healthcare. You're saving on the cost because you're allowing money to go for other things. And so you've got to integrate this health debate with the rest of the economy.
Stuart is pacing around.
But
wait, I'm still in charge. I have two more minutes.
Override has now come into the room, so all those negative things that we've been saying about it.
Are we going to give him 5 minutes to rebut them? Okay, one last question. Way up in the corner.
It's less of a question, more of an observation. I'm Darrell Kirsch from the Association of Medical Colleges. And I think, Gene, you were just beginning to go there. That there's another variable at work here, which is the trend of stepping back from investing in social programs. And given the socioeconomic determinants of health, you know, if we weaken our spending on K-12, if we weaken our support for childhood nutrition, et cetera, in the end, that's going to feed into health status, health demand, in a very negative way. So the erosion of our ability to do things by any increase in healthcare spending, I know it's hard to calculate, but could end up being one of the major variables.
I just want to come to the socioeconomic point for a second, because I think it's important. Just like income is growing more dispersed in the country, so is life expectancy. And one very troubling issue is that if you look in the past decade or two, life expectancy increases have been fairly nice, but they have been entirely concentrated in the upper parts of the distribution. So that most of the estimates are that for people with, say, less than any college or just a high school degree or less, life expectancy has stayed the same or fallen. So it's very hard to run a single social insurance program when you effectively have two populations of people. And that's going to make that part be very challenging. And I think the comment is really bringing that up as well, which is, you know, are we going to crowd out spending for low and middle income kids because we spend more on high income people near the end of life and things like that?
Well, we do have time for one more question.
David Sunwell, University of Utah School of Medicine. That prompted me to ask the question I've been thinking about all morning, and that is, I have the sense that you're all collectively, except for Joe, relatively sanguine about our healthcare expenditures, that somehow we'll moderate or we'll carry on through taxes, whatever, a better economy. Isn't anyone a bit embarrassed that for all this money we're spending, our health outcomes are so bad as a nation? I mean, our public health indicators just aren't very good. And internationally comparing, we should be embarrassed if we're not. So I just have some kind of a hope that as we continue to spend so many million dollars for healthcare, we'll together figure out how to make all of us healthier, because we don't rank very well internationally. Any comment on that?
I think we were all in agreement. I mean, to the extent you're saying we were sanguine, we were just saying this extraordinary growth rate was coming down. In my case, I made an argument mechanically it would come down even if you're absorbing huge shares of GDP just for mechanical reasons, but it wasn't sanguine in the sense that I thought that was a great thing for the economy. There are a lot of things, especially given the last couple of comments, on which I would much rather be spending our money. That's a non-health comment, and within healthcare you're adding the additional variable, boy, even for the money we're spending, shouldn't we be getting a lot more? And I don't think anybody in the panel would disagree.
I think it's fair to say we're economists. We don't do embarrassment.
As an economist, I will sign on to your comment and apologize for that. Uwe and May, while you were not here, nice words were said about you. And you were thanked for your hosting and your contributions to this gathering over the years. You know, if Stuart has perseverance and we can add another 20 years onto this conference, we can come back and declare victory and claim credit. And hopefully Gene won't point out that it's the law of mathematics, not our great contribution brought us to this morning. And David, by that point, would be just about 65, so the fact that Medicare and Social Security use all of the federal money, he won't care about anymore.